everybody. Welcome to another episode of Book Goodies Author Podcast Series. I'm your host, Deborah Carney, and today I am joined by author Craig Garber. Hi, Craig. How are you?
Hey, Deb. How are you? Good to be here.
Thanks. Well, I thank you for taking time out of your day. Our listeners are excited to hear what your book is about. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and then tell us about your current project.
Thanks. As you said, my name is Craig Garber. I am an author, publisher, and consultant. Name of my book is How to Make Maximum Money with Minimum Customers. I started my career originally out of school. I'm 48 today. I started my career originally as a, believe it or not, a CPA.
Oh.
And I got into sales after that and went and owned my own, opened my own. I realized I really wasn't a good guy to be working for someone else. And I worked for a national financial planning firm at the time, and I left and opened my own business. And, you know, honestly, I was just like pretty much every other business owner out there when it comes to the word marketing. You know, I was kind of like a deer in headlights. I didn't know what it was. I thought, you know, getting leads was this thing that was kind of shrouded in mystery. And so I did what everybody else does that owns a business. I looked in the yellow pages. Remember the yellow pages?
Yes. Yes. When I was a professional photographer back in the day, I did a yellow pages ad. I only had to do it 1 year.
Yeah. And I advertised in my local papers, and I just, you know, it's marketing incest basically. And it's the blind leading the blind.
Yeah.
You know, you just make the assumption that, well, those guys are running ads and they must work, but none of these ads are working. So you got a bunch of people and the ad reps are just sitting there telling you, you know, you have to keep letting the people need to see your thing 21 times and then they trust you. And the reality is that it's not true. That's like saying, you know, you wear bad cologne and if you wear it 21 days in a row, it'll suddenly start smelling nice. That's not how it works. You know, a good ad is going to work and a bad ad is not going to work. And running a bad ad over and over again, you know, doesn't make it better.
Right.
On a whim, I ordered a life insurance selling course that was based around the principles of direct response marketing.
Right.
And it was very intriguing to me, the whole concept of learning how to attract qualified business instead of having to chase it down. And I really found it fascinating. And I then got so involved in it, I basically spent the next year literally every single night up to 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning studying this stuff. And I started learning how to write copy. And I read dozens and dozens of books on direct response marketing and selling. And I started putting this stuff into place during the day. And lo and behold, I started getting some pretty good, you know, amazing results. And one of the guys I was following at the time, a guy named Gary Halbert, who is a very famous copywriter. He's since passed away about 5 or 6 years ago now. But I was living in Fort Lauderdale at the time, and he lived in Miami. And I said, oh, my, I got to get with this guy. And I think I'm pretty good at this. And I really like – I want to get rid of this financial planning stuff, and I want to do this marketing stuff. So I wrote him a sales letter, actually, a 40-page sales letter.
Wow.
He responded to it, and yeah, you know, the thing was I just wanted him to – I had 3 kids, and I have a responsibility to my family, and I didn't want to think, well, I don't want to just go up on a pipe dream and think I could do this stuff. And, you know, I wanted to kind of be responsible about it, and I was just asking him if – you know, my wish list was that the guy would mentor me. But I said, you know, I'd love to just have lunch with you for a half hour if I could buy you lunch and, you know, see, you know, am I going down the right path or am I, you know, chasing these dreams? So we got together, and I wound up working with the guy for 6 months, you know, learned a lot, and he launched my career. At the time, I was writing copy for people, so I got into this business really as a copywriter. And, you know, I don't work with many copywriting clients anymore. Really, I spend most of my time publishing and in consulting. And I've worked with, over the last 13 years, over 300 clients in more than 87 different businesses all around the world. I've been publishing an offline newsletter called Seductive Selling for, we're in our 7th year. That's a monthly offline newsletter.
Okay.
You know, life is good. I get involved in niche businesses and niche products. And, you know, I've learned a lot and I've met some really great people.
That just sounds all fascinating, and it just goes to show you that you know, networking is a big part of being able to succeed in this business. So everything you've done is you know, it just all comes together, which is really great. Now, why don't you tell us a little bit about you kind of already covered why you got started and how you got started. So if someone's new in this business, what would you tell them?
New as an author or new as in business in general?
New as an author.
Okay. Really, there's a couple of things that you really need to know as far as writing a book. And I think writing a book is one of those things that people have always dreamed about. But you got to realize it's not like in the movies. It is like in the movies, you know, in the sense that, you know, you're thinking if you build it, they will come. It's like a website. It's not. That's only in the movies. If you build it, they won't come. So you really need to think about it. Is why am I writing this book? Okay, because if you're just writing the book to have the book written to sell to 20, 30 of your friends, just write the book and give it away. Don't worry about selling it.
Right.
So you really have to have a reason or a purpose for selling your book. And if that purpose is simply because, hey, I really enjoy writing and I'd love to do that for a living, okay, that's great, but you have, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you better have a pretty good game plan for either getting published by a publishing house or publishing it yourself and marketing it yourself. And you know, if you're a nonfiction writer, it is really hard to get your work sold on your own unless you have a publishing house. So what I'm saying is not to take the wind out of your sails, but you got to be pretty realistic in your goals and what you're thinking of doing. Like, I'm a self-published guy. I did have an offer to have my book published by a publishing company, but I didn't want to for several reasons. One is because the compensation they're going to give you is pretty low.
Right.
And yeah, they'll get your books in bookstores, but they're not spending a ton of money to sell your book. I still got to do all the stuff in my book and the promoting. So, and I don't mind doing that. That's what I do. But if I'm going to do that, I'm going to do it and get paid for it. I'm not going to get paid 4 cents on a $25, $30 book, you know?
You're right.
Yeah. That's, you know, they're paying you like 5% unless you're, you know, a proven major author. The other thing was they have a lot of editorial control over what you can and cannot do, and that's just not congruent with me.
Mm-hmm.
Person, you know, I have certain things I want to do and say, and you know, I'm not about to get censored by anybody at this stage of the game. So I can only speak from the experience of self-publishing, which nowadays is so easy. With Amazon and iTunes, it is ridiculously easy. If you don't have the patience or the time to fill out the papers, and it's so easy to find people to pay to do it for a nominal cost, that there's really no reason why you shouldn't be doing this stuff on your own. And from then on in, it's just a question of building a list of people that are interested in your topic that you've written about.
Right.
And where the message you're giving them is congruent with what you have to sell. And
so now here's a point that I'd like to touch upon. There are people who have gone both ways with this. Some people have, some authors have told us that they built their platform before they even finished their book. And others have said they built their platform after they published the book. So what kind of was the way that you took? You already had people and you had an idea of what you wanted to do, but did you actually build a platform separately for the book, or did you just put that into your overall marketing?
I put that in. See, I've had a list of people I've been marketing for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this list of names, and then I just sold my book and, you know, built it up with expectations of over time, and I just sold it to my list of people. That was the initial sales. And, you know, then after that, it's a question of how do you get more leads and how do you funnel those leads to your book? And not surprisingly, Amazon has been a great source of new leads for us.
Okay.
Because it's such a heavily trafficked site. It's phenomenal.
Now, how do you capture the leads because Amazon doesn't, you know, they give us sales information, but they don't give us any, you know, customer information. Is it because when they finish your book, they go to your website and fill out something that says they read your book, or?
Yeah, but usually they don't even wait. Like in my book, I have first of all, I have the, you know, I introduce myself in the book right up front. And what I do, and so, and then at the end of every chapter, there's a list of resources that I have available that are congruent with the information they just learned in the chapter. So it's like, you know, if I'm talking about publishing an offline newsletter, then I say, you know, if you're, you know, this resource that I have would help you on these lines. Okay. And so it has my website address on there all the way throughout. So people are pretty much immediately going there. Plus, on the back of the book, I have my website.
Right.
So, which is something that everybody should do. The more access they have to you, the better off. And I'm even thinking about, you know, and again, on Amazon, it's so easy. You just upload a new edition and you can add, drive them to your website. So if I were in, you know, my industry is easy, to be honest with you, because if people like the marketing information, they're going to go to your site automatically. They're going to buy stuff and they just want to get on your daily list and see what's going on. But I would create an incentive for someone to go to your website. So if you've written a novel, you know, I would have in the opening pages of that book, make sure you go to my website at www. To get updates and find out the newest characters we'll be developing, interactive surveys, quizzes, questionnaires, and, you know, opportunities to interact with the author, whatever it is you want to offer, but give them incentive to go to the website immediately.
And the good thing about doing that immediately at the front of the book is because on Amazon, at least, they give you the ability to look inside the book. Yep. And if you have your link right there in the front of the book, it will hot link. And you can get people that, whether they buy your book or not, they may hop off and go to your website and see what your website is all about. So.
Right.
I've been pushing Amazon as an additional source of traffic to people now for about a year since I discovered it, because it's the thing for me was the Kindle Fire, and the thing for me was actually reading a book online, because I didn't think people would really read books on a thing that was only this big. And then you hold up a regular book next to a Kindle and they're the same size, and you're like, oh, okay. And then you actually read a book on the Kindle and then you're hooked, because your whole library goes with you. So to your point, that's how you get people to get your electronic book on their device so that they can go find you.
Absolutely. It's all about capturing that lead, because as you said, people aren't always comfortable, even if your book is inexpensive. People aren't always comfortable. They want to know who they're dealing with. And it's so easy now. They actually have that right.
Yep.
So give it to them. You know, place to capture a name, address, so on and so forth, and, go for it.
Well, and that's the other reason that I'm doing this series of podcasts. I know there are a lot of sites, and nothing against those sites. There's a lot of sites that do a written interview with you. So, like, you would contact a site and ask them, to interview you, and what they'll do is they'll send you a list of questions, you type out the answers, you send it back, they read it, they might comment on it, and they post it up. To me, that's still a one-dimensional author interview. Mm-hmm. You know, that is you answering somebody's questions. There's no back and forth, there's no give and take. No one can hear your voice. And let's face it, today's society, you know, even when we're reading a book, we want to kind of hear that voice in the back of our head. Who is it that wrote this book? And let me hear their voice. You know, like once I started reading some business books put out by my friends, you know, you're hearing your friend's voice in your ear as you're reading. You're not just reading words on a page. You're also listening. And to me, making that connection is important. I know a lot of authors put a video on their About Us page or do a little video trailer. You know, that's something you might, authors, especially new authors that people don't know, it's a great way to let people get to know you.
Totally. It's all about the engagement, you know, and the deeper, there's two ways, I talk about this in my book, there's two ways you could basically establish rapport, only two things. It's frequency and intensity. So often you speak with somebody, you know, the person you see, your neighbor you see, you know, four times a week, you're a lot friendlier with, the quality of your relationship's a lot higher than the neighbor you see once a month.
Right.
Assuming that the neighbor, you don't hate the neighbor you see four times a week. But, and then, so you have frequency and then intensity, meaning the quality and the depth of your conversation. You know, if it's always the fish on the wall, you know, that's, there's not really much of a relationship there. But if it's more meaningful and more substantive and, you know, the relationship's deeper. Well, it's the same thing as far as making a connection. You need to have, the more senses you could stimulate, the better you're going to be able to do. So I agree with you. Like, video is going to be the best, then audio, but print's going to be the toughest, you know,
right,
print alone. And I'm at the point now, we were talking, I'm fortunate, I'm getting so many interviews now that I don't do the print. I don't do, hey, we're looking for information, we're writing a book. No thank you. Because, you know, 6 months from now or a year from now, if your book comes out, no thanks. And yeah. I'm not interested. Not that there's anything wrong with those. It's just not, I don't have the time. I'm busy. So
right,
unless you're doing an audio interview, I'm turning those down as well now. I don't do anything in print.
And I think that's smart, because basically what happens, and again, not that there's anything wrong with the sites that work that way, because that's their business model and how they, you know, want to get information. And for every person like you that turns them down, you know, five or six other people will go there. You want to be the one ranking for your name. You don't want another website to be the one ranking for your name unless there's a value on that website that you can't get yourself. So,
sure,
like this web, you know, the Book Goodies site is going to post your podcast. And then we're going to put your podcast out on a bunch of other sites. And on every one of those posts is going to be a link to your website, a link to your book, all the links that you give me that we want people to go to so that they will be in your funnel going all and, you know, ending up towards you. And that is the point of difference, is that they get to hear you talk to me.
Absolutely.
And when they get to hear you talk to me, they're like, oh, he doesn't sound like a used car salesman. I think I'll go read it. You know, I think I'll go take a look at his book, you know?
Sure.
And now, as part of your marketing, you have a website. Do you just have a personal website as your author platform, or do you have a platform for your book specifically?
No, I have it's a website for my business, and the book is one of the many things that you find on there. But I try to gear everybody, skew them towards the book. And I'm actually in the process of redesigning my blog now. It should be ready next week or two, probably by the time this podcast comes out. But where the focus is that even more so. And what I do is, when people come in, the funnel that they go through, it's a 7-day kind of live workshop. What I did was, I flew up to New York with my son and I gave a bunch of marketing lessons in different places in the city. It was really cool because, like, I stood in front of you know, John's Pizzeria down on Bleecker Street and talked about how, you know, I remember the biggest thing when I was a kid was, because I grew up in the Bronx and ate a lot of pizza.
Yeah.
Pizza went from 10 cents a slice to a quarter, and it was like a dramatic increase. And then I'll talk about, here's how to charge, here's how here are the strategies you need to use when you're charging your clients and high prices. Here's how to consistently collect that without any problem. So I ran around the city, made all these videos, and then there's a PDF handout you get for each of them, and there's a lesson, and I tie it into chapters in my book. So at the time it's over, then there's more interviews, it's probably too long, and then, you know, people buy.
Awesome. That's a great funnel. And again, you're giving somebody a point of difference. You're giving them a way to get to trust you. And then you're giving them a way to consume your information and then, you know, be even more engaged with you. And then they'll be interested to see what you put out down the pike that they would be interested in participating in or buying from you. So that's, you know, I mean, that's a great funnel, and that's a lot of things that, again, a lot of authors out there, you know, you can finish a book and you can get it edited, and as soon as you get it back from the editor, you can throw it up online. And,
yeah,
you know, you can be live within 24 hours of a finished product, whereas with a traditional publisher, okay, they did the editing, you didn't like some of the edits, you're going to go back and forth for a while on the editing, and then you got the book cover, and you're going to go back and forth on the book cover because you see it one way and they see it another way, and then to get through their process to actually get published is going to take you at least a year and a half. And for somebody like you, and for a lot of the authors that I'm talking to, they no longer want that wait. If I've finished writing something and I've got it polished and it's ready to go, I want it out there. And I want to make the maximum money or get the maximum lead generation. I want to start the process of getting the benefit from my book being finished right away.
You want to make maximum money with minimum customers.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, when I first read the title to your book, I was like, okay, that sounds interesting, but it sounds like I have to charge a lot. But you don't, but you charge what your value is. Again, like when I started as a professional photographer, I actually spent a year where all of mine and my ex-husband's friends all got married over the course of one year. And, you know, me as an amateur, I would just watch what all the professional photographers did. I would take my own photos, you know, during the weddings and whatnot. And every bride and groom, I gave them an album of their photos as their wedding present. And people started looking at me going, you're doing a better job than the pro. And I like what you did versus what they did because... And I could hear people grumbling because of how the wedding photographer handled certain things and was interfering and doing this and that. So at the end of 1 year of basically research, I was able to go out and do weddings and boom, word of mouth. I never had to advertise again.
Awesome.
So, and it's the same thing with you. As soon as people get to know you, your process, you know, what you're selling, what you have that benefits them, that's your point of difference. You know, my point of difference was more personalized attention. And your point of difference is you pay attention to what people want and you give it to them and you give it to them in different formats so they can get to know you better.
Yeah. If I could give any advice, the best thing you could do is supply, you know, just deliver good content. I had one of my mentors, I have not had many mentors, unfortunately. I wish I had more. But one of them said something years ago, and it's kind of hokey and corny, but it's so true. It says, Craig, no one cares how much you know.
Yeah.
And know how much you care.
Yep.
And, you know, a stranger knows how much you care by, you know, go back to those two things, intensity and frequency. So if your message is good and it's consistent all the time, you know, that builds up a lot of credibility. Most people are quirky as anything, you know. And
yeah.
So when you're not, it's really easy to stick out in today's day and age. And if your message is consistent and if, you know, your philosophies are congruent with one another, then you develop a relationship. I often do sometimes I do strategy session calls one-on-one with people, and it's really funny because they get on the phone. And one of the first things I say is, hey, listen, you know, pretend like you've known me 10 years, speak very freely, and this way we'll get the most out of the call, you know, be as open and direct. And they all say, man, I do feel like I know you, I've known you for 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's just because of all the content I put out there. I mean, I've got the 1,400 pages on our website now. So.
Yep. That's a lot. That's a lot of content. And what happens to us with the podcast is we'll be at a conference. We'll be... At a major conference for our industry, and people will come up to me and they'll tap me on the back and they'll say, I know your voice. And, you know, I'll turn around and they'll go, I listen to your podcast. And it's people that you would have never reached because
right.
No matter where you put your content, you know, if you get a podcast on iTunes, like you were saying, if you get a book on iTunes, you get a podcast on iTunes, you get a book in the iBookstore, people that you would never be able to reach from your website can find you.
Uh-huh.
You know, especially if you start ranking, you know, you sell enough copies of your book that you're getting good reviews and you're getting, you know, sales, then you float up, you know, toward the top and you get audience you would have never gotten before.
Oh yeah. And you can't be bashful about asking, like, you know, people, oh, Craig, I love your book. The first thing I say is, man, go on, because I sell it through myself and I sell it on Amazon too. So first thing I do is say, hey, listen, go on Amazon and put a 5-star review up there and just write something.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to do that. And I mean, how
you
else?
You have to ask because people don't know to automatically do it.
Sure. Not, they're not in your shoes. They don't understand what that means and if it's important or not. So you have to be and you just be humble. Hey, can you do me a favor? Can you? I'm glad you liked it. It means a lot to me. Can you please put a 5-star review on Amazon for? Oh yeah. And you know, sure. Maybe you have to ask somebody once or twice, but most people just do it. You know, it's not. Yeah. You know, it's not.
Yeah, Amazon requires it to be like a complete one complete sentence. So basically, that's all you have to do. You know. And what I've started doing, and I have to go back and do it in all my books because I haven't done it in all my books, is at the end of your book, put that same thing. You know, hey, if you really liked our book, can you please leave us a review at Amazon and let us know what you think? And by the way, here's the link directly to the book.
Absolutely. And now we're, you see, because so many people are now coming to me through Amazon, one of the things I'm going to be doing later on this year is offering an alternative channel. Like when you come into the process, you know, Craig, I already own your book. Craig, I don't own your book. Because if you already own my book, you know, I'm not really sure that it's the best use of them as a lead, putting them through the process again to buy my book.
Exactly.
You know, the information's great. I just assume send them a PDF of all the information in a summary. You know, if you're investing money to get a lead, you want to maximize that lead. So that's some of the stuff you need to think about.
Yep, totally. We've already talked quite a bit about marketing, but what other techniques have you used to market besides your website?
Okay, Amazon, my website. I've used joint ventures through people I know. See, my book sells for, if you buy it through me, it's first of all, it's a massive book, okay? It's like a manual. So you get the book and you get 3 CDs and 3 DVDs for $97. So I've done some joint ventures with it, and not as much as I want to do. And hopefully I'll be working with you to help speed along that process. But you know, joint ventures is probably one of the easiest ways of promoting your book. The thing is, you have to, you know, if someone's going to do a mailer for you, you know, there has to be something in it for them.
Right.
So this is where the conventional author selling I don't know how much a book is because I don't know. Is it $20?
Yeah, let's say $20.
Okay, so a conventional author selling a book for 20, call it 25 even, even if they've published it themselves, you know, so you're going to have $20 profit, let's say. You know, someone's really not going to mail something to make $10.
Right.
Even if you're paying them out 50%. So you've really got to get creative or just meet other people that travel in the same circles with you, other authors that are, you know, at the same price points. And you just kind of have a little network circle of everybody that promotes everybody else's book. And believe it or not, you can do very well like that. Now, you're not going to make any money on it, but you'll build your list up substantially. And every time you do that, now you've got access to 5 times. If you have 5 of you in the club, you got access to 4 or 5 times as many people as you would before, so that when your next book comes out, your list is bigger to sell it to. But the thing is, though, it's really hard to make money as an author unless you've got something behind the book, what we call in marketing a back end.
Yeah.
A book is a wonderful front end. And I don't think there's any other better front end. But if you don't have anything on the back end, even at $97, you know, I'm not retiring on that.
Right.
You know, a lot of my book sales are on Amazon, and it's $39.99 there, and it's you know, I mean, I do, you know, like when you buy it from me, you get a lifetime guarantee, you get all those extra things, but you got to have a back end on that if you want to make a living.
Right. The book is your new calling card. It's how you introduce yourself to people, and you know, you can say here. You know, I'm, you know, read this book and then you might want to use me for speaking engagements or hire me for a project or, you know, this book will let you get to know me even better. It's better than a resume because, you know, it's got the information that you need from me and then you can decide if you need more.
Absolutely. It's you know, it's a $6 to $8 business card is what it is.
Yep.
So when you meet somebody that you think has something going for them and you want to establish a relationship, like the first thing I do is, hey, you know, give me your, like I did with you, give me your address, you know, I want to send you a copy of my book. You know, it's a no brainer. You know, it's a very small investment for the returns that you can get off it. And if it's a well-written book, I'm not a hard sales guy anyway, but if it's a well written book, you don't have to sell. People will come back to you and say, hey, I really like this. You know, I'm trying to figure out how we could do something together. Let's have a conversation. Great. Yeah, that's great. Thank you. So it's a very organic, natural process as well, which is, you know, always the healthiest and easiest way to sell.
Yep. And now you mentioned that you self-published. What platform did you use to self-publish on?
You mean like what did I write the book in?
No, what did are you selling it on Kindle? Are you selling it through CreateSpace? Or did you go through Smashwords? Or, you know, what type of – did you go through a small publisher?
Okay. I published it myself, and we had it printed for the first year, and then we put it on Amazon. I would not do that again. I'd have copies here maybe to sell or not. I don't really care. You learn on your first one. My book was way too big. It's like 360 pages, 8.5 by 11. I mean, it's like if you buy it, that's probably the only book you'll ever need in marketing your career. I didn't need to write a book like that. You know,
right.
I could have written my next book will be 135, 140 pages, 6x9 conventional book. It'll go on CreateSpace only, and it'll be, you know, whatever, $20 or something like that.
Right.
This is just a mammoth manual. And it sells well on CreateSpace, but it was too much work for me. I mean, part of what you learn, I think, as a business person over time is to take it, you know, you don't have to make money hard. In fact, on my Mac here, it says stop overthinking, take the easy way. And on the next slide, it says where is the easy money business? You know, I think we all, I think everybody, when you go to work for yourself, your initial thought process is, man, I just got to make enough money so I don't have to listen to some idiot in an office barking at me all day long.
Right.
So I got to scrape up every single opportunity I can. Well, after a while, if you're good at what you do, you realize finding opportunities which you thought was your most, be a huge problem, it's so easy to the point where the solution to the problem actually becomes your new problem itself. So now you've got too many opportunities and you spread yourself too thin and you work. And, you know, I think one of the things I've matured at over time is, and some of this is age and some of this is just maturity of doing, you know, you learn as you mess up or you learn, you know, we all pay tuition, is not to work so hard. You know, I don't get involved in anything that's difficult anymore. I take easy businesses only, you know, for projects I work on. I only look for easy businesses. I'm not interested in killing myself. If I have to, you know, the next book I write, I'm probably going to literally take 2 weeks off and just write the book in 2 weeks and not kill myself. And it'll, like I said, it'll be a 140-page book, and I can probably write that in 3 days.
Yep.
And, you know, once I have my outline. So, you know, you learn that you can make money easy. You don't have to kill yourself. And you don't, and I think that that's especially prevalent in, you know, like I know I'm, you know, I came from a, you know, an unprofessional, you know, more of a blue collar background where you don't know about making money, you don't know about business, and, you know, you're used to just busting your hump to get what you want. And, you know, you learn that there is a better way. You don't need to, you can make money the easy way. You know, I don't do the kind of consulting I used to do, that stuff I didn't like. I do things I like, and you know, my life is easier for it, and I'm happier for it, which is, you know, what's it about? You know, you don't, you know, that saying, you know, no one thinks about on their deathbed, you know, how much time they spent in the office, you know?
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, that absolutely is, you know, the whole life is too short thing. And, you know, you're saying how it's easier. The reason is it's easier, you just hit upon a minute ago, because you're doing stuff you like.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to take the crappy jobs anymore just to pay the bills.
No.
Because you have enough of a reputation and enough stability to be able to go to the next level and take those clients that you really want to work with. And take those people that you really want to work with. And the other thing about the next book being shorter, what I'm finding is that, and it's myself as a reader too, I rarely read novels anymore. I have read a few, but our society is getting to where they want things in smaller chunks.
Yes.
So instead of the 300 to 500 page book, they would rather have 5 books that are 100 pages each.
Yes, I
and
agree.
Pay $10 each for those, and then not realize that they paid, you know, $100 for the whole series of 10 books.
Yeah.
Because they paid it $10 at a time.
You're 100% right. And like all my friends, a lot of my peers told me, hey, Craig, you should have rolled this. You shouldn't have wrote this book. You should have rolled this out as a $2,000 program. And I could have. But, you know, I wanted to get a book out there. I'm glad I did, because it's gotten me into a lot of places now. And especially now that I'm really focused on marketing it exclusively as my front end.
Right.
It's incredibly effective. I mean, I've gotten to speak with people just because, I mean, I'm on this interview because I had a book,
right?
You know, I'm a hell of a nice guy, and I'm kind of funny sometimes, but you know, if I wasn't on this, if I didn't have a book, you and I would not be speaking.
Wouldn't be talking, no, because the call for authors that I put out was a call for authors.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you might have, you know, we had a little conversation ahead of time. We might have stumbled across each other on, you know, one of my other sites and one of my in the other industry that I work in, but you sped up that process.
Yeah.
By having the book and answering the call to come and be on our podcast. So you skipped ahead a few steps, let's say, because you and that's absolutely what a lot of writers of nonfiction need to think about, is that, you know, you're an authority on something.
Absolutely.
Everybody is, you know. I mean, you are, you know, if you're over 25 years old and you've been doing something, you know, constructive with your life, you know about a topic that people don't necessarily know about.
Absolutely.
And you can write an authoritative piece about it. Or me as a photographer, I'm putting together photography books. I couldn't do that 5 years ago because the cost of a full color photography book was prohibitive. I couldn't even afford to buy my own photography books,
sure.
You know? So, but now with the Kindle Fire and the Barnes & Noble Nook, these I can put full color photographs into an ebook, and then if they like it, they can go and purchase the print book, which has a higher price, but a lot lower price than it would have had 5 years ago.
Sure, absolutely. The distribution channels are so much easier, more accessible. The barrier to entry is lower. But the good thing about that is, too, because the barrier to entry is lower, there's a lot more garbage out there.
Yep.
So if you actually are good at what you do, you'll really strike a chord with people.
Yep.
And if you deliver on the promises you make, oh, my God.
Yep. If you can, yeah. And that's really, 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 really important. And it's one of the reasons I'm doing the author interviews, and I started the Book Goodies site to begin with, was there's a lot of junk.
Mm-hmm.
There is an awful lot of junk because, and you'll see it on certain message boards, and some people are just prejudiced because they don't like the idea of ebooks at all because they're still thinking in the get rich quick series of ebooks and the, you know, things, the get healthy ebooks that were like, you know, $45 back in the day, and you had 100% affiliate commission on them if you sold them to somebody else, and all the garbage that was spit out by non-English speaking people that was distributed to a lot of folks. Well, I got to hand it to Kindle that they're trying now to sort some of that out and get rid of some of that. Because they notice that all of a sudden they've got 5 books in the same category that have the same cover and the same content, but a different author.
Yeah.
You know, and the content's just mixed up a little bit. So they're starting to go through and sort that out. But the reason I did the Book Goodies podcast and the Tell Me About Your Book is because I want people to find the good books. I want people to know that self-published doesn't mean it wasn't good enough to be traditionally published. A lot of books that I'm reading that are self-published, traditional publishers should have jumped on, but given the way that traditional publishing works, it would take too long. One of the things we talked about earlier, it would take too long to get to market, and they're outdated by the time they get to market. And the other thing about self-publishing, you can update your manuscript when you need to, especially on a Kindle book. All you have to do is upload a new file, and boom, everybody from that point forward gets the new information.
That's, I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that they send out an update to the existing buyers. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and they just started doing that recently, and usually it's only if you do a major update, but let's say you just want to update the links at the back of your book. Everyone going forward will get the new links.
That's,
you know,
really
they
bad.
May not contact all the people from the past, but if you did a major update, they will send out an email and say, you know, you can now re-download this book, which I think is really great.
Yeah, totally cool.
And the same thing with CreateSpace. You can replace your manuscript. I think they charge a little bit of money, somebody told me, to replace your manuscript in an existing book. But if you replace the existing book rather than coming out with a new version that is just a little bit modified, you keep all of your rankings and your reviews and, you know, all the good stuff that got your book pushed up to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, if you just need to make a few edits or change one chapter because something, you know, something in the industry changed, or something that you talked about, you know, let's face it, if you talk about social media in any marketing book, it's different.
It's outdated
as soon as you,
because, yeah, yeah.
I mean, we went back and looked at one of our past podcasts, and we were talking about how Facebook was the new kid, and we'll wait and see, but make sure your MySpace pages are updated. And I'm like, I got to pull that down. I can't let anybody listen to that podcast.
Yeah, I get you. I hear you on that. Yeah, we changed our cover recently on Amazon, and it was just a simple upload.
Yep. Yep, it's a very simple upload to change your cover, and that's good for marketing testing. You know, if you're not getting a lot of clicks and buys, you know, change your cover and see if something was not right with the cover. So you get to do your split testing as well.
Well, I'll tell you what we did. It was interesting. My old cover, which is still on the Kindle, I believe, was like a picture of me sitting out on my dock or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Real casual, nothing, you know. And my buddy says to me, he goes, Craig, listen, man, I hope you're not going to be offended. I can't stand the cover of your book. I said, thanks. You know, I said, thanks for telling me. I said, because if you're telling me that, probably a lot of people are thinking the same thing.
Yep.
And I said, okay, let me change it. So I went to, I never worked with them before, 99 Designs, you know what that is?
Yep, very familiar.
And they bid on the covers, and it was a great experience. And what was really cool is I had four or five covers there.
Yeah.
And they allow you to sort of do a survey, and your list could click on them. And, you know, I was dead set against having a dark color in my mind because, you know, I'm an optimistic, bright guy. I like bright colors, right?
Right. So,
but I had these five covers that I sort of liked, and I kept the dark one there, and I put it out to my list, and, you know, wouldn't you know it?
They love the dark one.
Yeah, by a strong margin. So I left that, and our sales have gone up, you know, dramatically since then. So I'm glad I did that, and I'm glad I was smart enough to know I am not my customer, and,
yeah.
I've known for a long time, and I listened to what my list had to say, and it worked out really well.
Well, Craig, this has been very interesting and an awesome podcast, and hopefully we'll get you on another one in a in a couple of months after you've had time to get everything together and maybe give us an update on how things are going. How can people find you on the internet? Give us your website, your Twitter, Facebook, whatever you've got.
All right. My website is kingofcopy.com, just as it sounds, King of Copy. And when I first started in marketing, I was mostly a copywriter. Now people come to me for copy, but they stick around for strategy and hopefully some entertainment.
Nice.
Facebook, I have a Facebook page. Facebook.com/KingofCopy. You know, I used to have all my social people stuff on one page, and, you know, I wasn't enjoying Facebook because then I really couldn't relate with my real friends. You know, I had like 1,000
yep.
people there. So now it's go friend me on Facebook.com, King of Copy, and I'll be happy to chat with you on there and respond. And that's it. You know, my book's on Amazon, my book's on my website, and if you have any questions, you can contact my assistant, Anne, Anne at KingofCopy.com, and she'll send you to the right place.
Awesome. I guess that's telling you that it's 6:30 and time for you to go. All right, everybody. I want to thank you, as always, for listening to our podcast. And again, thank Craig for being on. You can come to, a lot of you I know are listening on iTunes and through other podcatchers and haven't been to our website yet. So I would like to invite you to come over to bookgoodies.com, BookGoodies.com. And you can also find us at twitter.com/bookgoodies and facebook.com/bookgoodies. And we also want to thank our hosting company, geekcast.fm. They have a lot of books on internet marketing and marketing, or I'm sorry, not books, podcasts about marketing and internet marketing in general that you can listen to while you work. And you can learn a lot of great things from. If you want to find me on the internet, you can go to deborahcarney.com, and that's with a C. Or you can go to twitter.com/Loxley, L-O-X-L-Y. That's for Robin Hood, Robin of Loxley. I like to help people do things better than they did them before. I don't steal from the poor. I don't steal from the rich, but I help the poor make more money. So thanks again, everybody. Get writing and have a great day.